It is a three-hour show. We're into hour number three. This is your last chance. And by last chance, I mean last chance. Christian Kirksey coming up a little bit later on. He'll be in the last segment. Also coming up this hour, I've got Alvy's Week That Was. I've got the ATP. So you are running out of time. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I want to remind you, Sunday is a big NFL day. NFL on CBS, doubleheader, in fact. Early games highlighted by an NFC matchup between the Giants and the Bears. The Broncos are squaring off with the Steelers. In game two, Pat Mahomes.
And the defense.
Alvy. Check that. Patrick Mahomes. And the defending Super Bowl champion, Chiefs. Take on the Chargers, or maybe you get the Ravens and the Texans. It all starts with JB and the guys on the NFL on CBS. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. And I will do my part from our studios right here in Southern California. I have my topics. If you want to know what I'm talking about, in part, I am talking Cardinals football. I'm talking about the Ravens. I'm talking about Tom Brady and more. So I will be there, but I will do so from Southern California. Telephone number, toll free. Use it. Some of the reaction. Also, we had James Kelly on, in case you missed it, and you want to know his picks. He's got Rams minus one. He has 49ers minus seven. He's got Cards minus 6.5. And I see at least one person, Matt in Vancouver, has gone with a three-team parlay off of the Flight Deck's picks. Big swing, kid. Also, some more reaction. Sam Amick came on and talked about the Joker sleeping 8 hours, then taking five-hour naps on game days in the bubble. And that shows that he's committed. Like, he's there for one reason: to win, to get prepared, to rest, to recover. Yeah, I'd say, man, 13 hours a day. This says, Rome, sleeping 13 hours a day. Psst, please. Psst, signed, Eric please. Snow.
And even now, a little niche for Evan Turner and giving him the ball where he tends to excel. You meditating?
Well, I thought I was trying to stay awake. You have some people, you know, that kind of wear on you.
I hear you.
They're kind of
get you. This guy literally during a game fell asleep.
So you have to get your burst of energy. That's how it is on the basketball court.
I love the way he tried to kind of get it, spin out of it by saying, yeah, that's the burst of energy I needed. Yeah, no, power nap, right? Eric, that's what they call a power nap. But normally not when you're on the air, not during a game. He's like, oh, no, I'm fine. I just try to stay awoke. Just trying to stay awoke. Dude, he literally fell asleep during a game. I respect that so much. I'm just falling asleep on the job, and then there's falling asleep on the job. I can't fall asleep in a bed in the middle of the day. My man napped it out sitting upright during a game. Respect. Hey, Rome, as a Minnesotan and Twins fan, Donaldson is now one of us for life. Ward Donaldson having Sandstorm as his walk-up song. Now, you know it's a good move if one of your hometown fans celebrated a move that helped cost them the game. I'm not saying it helped cost them the game per se. I'm saying they could have used him. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, Jim, nothing says respect my authority quite like the MLB making their umpires get down on all fours in the dirt to wipe the plate off with those little tiny brushes. Meanwhile, the NBA can hire like 10 kids every game to wipe down the hardwood. Tennis has people risking their lives during Jokic sets to mill around and shag balls. Clean it up, Manfred, you cheapskate. Brett and Bugaha wore the Dex picks. The only part of that that was good was the wore the Dex picks. I did say that. It's pretty humiliating, though. You've got grown men bending over with tiny cosmetic brushes, brushing off the home plate. After a guy hits a home run and kicks dirt all over it. Anybody else want in before I start the next thing? All right, so speaking of the next thing, In fact, I'm not going to speak about the next thing because there are certain people, when I see their calls, I want to take the call. Like, take this guy. This guy's been on hold exactly 5 seconds. There are people who have been on hold 5 hours, 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years that will never see the light of day. Not to put pressure on this guy, but I like him that much. Now he's been on hold 10 seconds, right to the front. Let's go to Nashville. Bo in Nashville. Bo, what's going on?
Rome, what's going on, my man? It's been a long time, partner.
What's good, my man?
Nothing much. I just want to say I miss y'all, man, and I got a new job driving a dump truck, and I be listening to y'all still, but I don't want to come on your show disrespecting with all the noise in the background. But usually I come on like a guillotine, cutting people's head off and put it in a bag and walk around like the Undertaker. But I want to come on your show today, Rome, and let you give you a little sports knowledge because I do have some of that. I want to be proficient and efficient like the Miami Heat, like the Denver Nuggets, like the New York Yankees, who went back to back to back to back and to back last night. And, you know, like, take one of your little words, Rome. I put a little scratch on a little game, on a couple of games for entertainment purposes only. Wink, wink. Cleveland killed me with the back door last night. And I just want to give a shout out to Miami Heat, man. People better recognize, give Dragic, the Dragon, some respect. That 2008 second round pick, hey, man, he the real deal. Alvin, Room, I love y'all, man. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm out, bro.
Rack him. I love you too, Bo.
Rack him.
I do, man. I love you, man. I love Bo coming in and saying, I've got a new job, so I haven't called. I can't disrespect you by having a bunch of background noise. But you know what I do. You know how I am. I come in like a guillotine, cutting off dudes' heads and putting them in a bag. And he does, too. I also like that he referenced the fact that we do have some picks on occasion for entertainment purposes only, wink, wink. But that back door last night killed him with the Browns. Well, that was something else, isn't it? That back door cover. How many of you, and I'm just saying, like, I've got so much love for America's team, I don't need. My man Bo got backdoored hard. I've got so much love for America's team that I don't need to get down to enjoy that. But I want to ask you, if you got down last night and you had America's team, you mentally banked that money, right? You probably physically spent that money, right? That's what's known as a backdoor cover, the ultimate. Or when they went down and they scored, did you think to yourself, dang, you scored too fast. You scored too fast. You left too much time on the clock. Or did you think, good, man, this feels so good. That's the way to pull some money on a Thursday night. A backdoor is something else. And how about if you're on the flip side of that? How good did that feel? What's more intense? What's the greater intensity of feeling in a moment like that? The win or the loss? What is more intense? Because I know you've been on both sides of that. You tell me. That back door. Bo got backdoored. Now, yesterday, Chris in Southeast Wisconsin, who I referenced after the call, is 6-for-6. And he's got a golden ticket. This guy came out of nowhere, started to call the program, has called 6 times, been racked 6 times, and has a golden ticket. In part, yesterday, he took a run at Jerome in Houston. Somebody else you may know. In case you missed the call yesterday, I want to play part of it right now, and I'm setting it up for a purpose.
Unwar, Jerome in Houston's brain cell destructive jungle calls. Deuces, Jim.
All right, so he's talking about how Jerome in Houston is destroying brain cells in the jungle when he calls the program. I figured that Jerome might have something to say about that. And what's fair is fair, right? Let's go to H-Town. Jerome, are you here to destroy brain cells or do something else?
Rome, are you here?
Oh, I'm here. I got a better question. Are you here?
Oh, I'm here. Let me tell you something about Chris. Let me tell you something about Chris in Southeast Wisco. Let me tell you something, bruh. Let me tell you, the school I went to, we couldn't get in unless you had a minimum of 180 IQ. Now, for you losers in Southeast Wisco, IQ is a acronym for intelligence quotient. Well, let me tell you something, Chris, in Southeast Wisco, let me tell you something. I was in that, and because of that, I wanted to feel normal. I was one of those freaks that people would look at and...
That's not a good color. No.
You don't like that color.
I don't like that color. Not a very good color.
Jerome, understand that that's not something I wanted to do, but you did not leave me any choice whatsoever. Because if the jungle breathalyzer were available, I'm guessing you're somewhere near a 0.25. If the jungle breathalyzer were available, it may have even exceeded your Mensa IQ. My man, you did not sound right. That was me snatching the keys out of your hand before you made a very poor decision. And because you put me in that position, and I know what sobriety sounds like, and that does not sound like that. Not only did I have to end that call and end you, now I have to rip your golden ticket back too. Friends do not let friends call the show blasted. There's an inherent responsibility that comes along with not only calling this show, but calling this show when you are a golden ticket recipient. There's an inherent responsibility no matter what. I'm going to ask you, look, on your own private time, do what you do. Do what you want to do, and hopefully you do it responsibly. But when you call my radio program, it's no longer your own private time. Now you're on my time. Now you're on all of our time. And if you're going to call this show and you've been biding your time by doing whatever the hell it was you were doing, moonshining or whatever, then it's no longer your private time. Then it's the public airspace. My man. I knew when you did not respond to me when I tried to get to you to pick you up. I knew we were in for something. I just didn't know we were in for that. Check some of the reaction. That was not good. That was not sober. Bella B. Slorome in Houston is at it again. Even Bella with her naked martinis is on you. Slorome. Slorome is a gloss. At Romy, you rock. Tweets, and I quote, Jerome's hammered.
Romy, you rock.
At JC in Calgary tweets, is drunk dialing Friday a new thing? I hope not. Hey, Adam, you may as well put on your headphones and answer a question or two because you did screen that call. I understand that there are jungle beefs. I understand that there are two sides to a beef, and the second side does deserve a chance to react. You talked to him. Were you not aware that maybe he was not right of mind before you put him up?
In fairness, I talked to him 2 hours ago. He's been waiting a while. So who's to say what Jerome was doing between now and then? And on this air, many times, he has disclosed that he likes to take part in the Jack Daniels while watching the show. And in the marijuana while watching the show. So maybe he was killing some time by killing some bottles.
Hey, dummy. If you know this about him and you just said that, he's known to partake in the JD and he's known to partake in the sticky icky and you had him on hold for 2 hours and you know that he's known to partake, maybe you pick him up after 2 hours to see his state.
That would have been very smart of me to do.
Right.
And I will admit, hearing you say that, I really should have done that. So I apologize. I should have warmed Jerome up. That's a radio term, warming up the caller, checking back in with him, and I did not do that. I apologize.
Why not? Were you too busy? Or too lazy?
I don't think I've ever been lazy at this job. I think maybe I just...
Oh, no, I can think of 1,000 times when you've been lazy at this job, most notably as it relates to him. All you had to do was pick up and say, hey, Jerome. Hey, Slorome. How you feeling? Are you all right? What have you been doing in the last 2 hours, Slorome?
That was a lapse in judgment on my part.
Is that what we're calling lazy now? A lapse in judgment. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Do better. Thank you very much. He just said it himself. I mean, like, dude, you just owned it. Yeah, this guy's come on the air, and he's talked about how he likes to partake in JD and partake in the Bud. And, well, he was on hold for 2 hours. What am I supposed to do, host? Right. Exactly. Bella B. glossed him Slurome. Now, I don't know if she gets credit for that or not. Slurome. Whoever does, this is how you get glossed in the jungle. You do not self-gloss. Like, as an example, I don't think that Jerome, especially with the 180 IQ, would ever gloss himself Slurome.
Intelligence quotient.
Gloss is to be earned, and Slurome earned it. My brother, do not take offense to what I'm doing here. We must all crush our own. This is part of the jungle family. And I don't know what you've been doing. I just know that's not coffee in that mug. Let's say Sports Honk. Slurome. SA Sports Honk tweets, Rome, the next ticket Jerome is going to get will not be golden. Signed, the Texas Highway Patrol. That's a good point. Now, Slurome has made the point that he will partake. He's also in his 60s. We knew this. I did not know he had an IQ of 180. But it does beg the question, if you're that smart, why are you calling this show that drunk? Because, Rome, I'm a functioning drunk. Not today, you were not, Slurome. Not if they're calling you Slurome and you're getting run and you're getting your golden ticket snatched. That's not a high functioning moonshiner. That's too bad. Now, the good news is, it's only September. The smack-off generally is not until the end of summer. You have plenty of time between now and then to get the golden ticket back. I've got a sense that maybe Jerome doesn't even know what happened. I have a sense that maybe he's already forgotten what happened. I got a sense that he probably is still talking into the phone, citing stats like my IQ is 180 and taking a run at Chris. He may not even know what happened yet. Holy crap, Jerome. Let me tell you something. See you later, ticket. Brad in Bellingham. War day drinking. I've never really been much into that myself because I like to have an adult beverage at night. I can't do both. You know, I'm not like the Joker. I don't go 5-hour nap. But then again, Jerome is retired, I think, right? Sitting at home watching the show. It is Friday. And where he is, I mean, in fairness to Jerome, it's probably 118 where he is. Now, for him to get to that level of where he is, he probably had to start at, I don't know, 718? Rome. Damn. That Jerome guy was drunk. Regards, Tony La Russa.
RSTUVVZTUVXYXZ.
JP in Riverside. I've always said, in fairness to Tony La Russa, if you were to hit me up right now and say, hey, Rome, do the alphabet backwards, I'm running on nothing but coffee right now. I couldn't do it. But I will say this, and in defense of Tony, he is a lawyer, very smart man, great manager. No, I could not do the alphabet backwards sober right now, But I can tell you this, I would not include a number in the alphabet. And I think he did.
R-S-T-U-V-Z-T-U-V-X-Y-X-Z.
T-U-V or 2-U-V? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think even he would put a digit in there. Then again, I don't think that the alphabet has two X's.
V-Z-T-U-V-X-Y-X-Z.
Nailed it. Wouldn't that have been great if he just looked at the cop like, nailed it. Anything else, copper? Nailed it. T-U-Z-X-Y-X-P, giraffe, garbage disposal, P-R, combine, L, hexagon. Get out of my face. I nailed that. That was too bad. One, driving drunk is always too bad and often lethal. Very poor choice. And we never talked to him ever again after that, which was too bad because he was always a great jungle person. I'm not sure why he won't come on or why we don't ask.
R-S-T-U-V.
He said. That's JP in Riverside who sent that. Yeah, I wonder if Jerome even knows what happened. I wonder if he knows that he got run. I wonder if he knows that the golden ticket got snatched. And I wonder if he knows that Bella B glossed him Slurome. I got to come right back with the week that was next because I have a guest in the final segment. I would say Chris is getting the better of that so far. Christian Kirksey coming up. The week that was is next. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help out with supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger for the ones who get it done. I've got a guest coming up next segment. So, Alvin, that means right now, it's all you. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. How was that NFL weekend? How'd that go for you? I am fired up to be here. Welcome to the jungle, live in Southern California. All right, so if we're being straight and we're being honest, it was not the greatest football I've ever seen, but damn, it was so great to have an NFL Sunday. I am so hyped and so geeked on ball that I will do this with or without you.
Yeah! Russ looks. He's going to lay it up over the top. It's Van Camp. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Let this guy cook. He is so good and so elite and has been for a long time. And that's how they look when they let this guy do what he does. Yesterday, he was stupid good.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, the entire Detroit Lions experience, the jubilation, the exhale, the, oh my gosh, the, oh no. And then the, wow, wow.
Wow.
Charles Robinson, my guest. What did you make of the offensive PI call on Michael Gallup?
Yeah, it was trash. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, he won a game with a little trick out of the bag that only a veteran has.
Sir, in all honesty, it was ridiculous. I can send you my resume right now.
Twitter! That guy, Ricky, wanting you to vouch for his resume was ridiculous.
Kind of ridiculous.
We all know the law of diminishing returns. We all learned that in Econ 101. You have a donut. It's great. You have a second donut. No, for some reason, that second donut's not as good. So you have a third one. And then you puke. You wonder why. The law of diminishing returns. Same thing with your new sound drop, Tim Connolly.
I gotta tell you, Rump, I used to drive all the time from Baltimore to D.C. when I was working with the Wizards. I listened to you a lot. My favorite part of the show was when you talked about softball guys. I don't know if that's still part of your repertoire. It was real to me. It touched a nerve.
It's true, right?
We know a lot of those. Oh, I know a million of those guys. They're the worst.
Yeah, this is the guy who plays on more than one team and is going up and down the bench going, damn, same thing happened Tuesday night on my other team. Mac Brown is joining us for a few more moments.
We're going to come out of this on the other side. And when we do, I want to have been someone who helped somebody during this time of crisis. And that's what my goal is right now.
The fourth sack already by Washington.
London Fletcher is joining us.
When they fell behind 17-0, I was like, man, what the heck? You know, here we go again. But what I love was the team takes on the identity of your head coach.
And they would say open wide and pile that dial soap, and we would chew it, finally spit it out, and they say, okay, you're good. Wash the rest out. And that's how they washed our mouth out with soap.
Holy smokes!
Jermell Charlo joining us. I get that, right? If you do the same things that everybody else does, you're going to get the same results.
Some of the smaller guys in the way, then you start seeing these shots come at you. They like little BBs. Bing, 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 bing. Nah, I ain't got time for that. You know what I'm saying? When the big old guys come hitting you, it feels like a little buckshot.
George, way off. It's the side of the backboard.
The fact that the Clippers, who were built to win right now and didn't even make the conference finals, is a catastrophe.
The Clippers will always be the Dippers.
The only thing worse is not seeing it for what it was, one of the biggest choke jobs ever. Clones literally are like,
hello.
Yeah, Elgin Baylor, please.
Please hold. Hello?
Yeah, Elgin, you know today is the draft, right? Elgin was not amused. We're talking to Jared Cook.
Man, it's just all about taking care of your body. I've had some good coaches lately that have helped me kind of step my game up. And it's just all about resilience and persistence.
The beef segment.
Your nuggets are small.
Pecans and acorns.
I called in 3 weeks ago talking about Luka hitting the game winner. They called a noise complaint. It happened again for the Stars game. Major
You know what we got right there? A major bleeping ban from calling this show ever again. Come on, man. Dabo Sweeney is my guest.
I'm good, Jim. Hope you're doing well.
Let me ask you this.
Sorry I was a little late there. Glad we were able to catch back up. We have to be grateful for all things, and that's what I try to do, even when I don't like it. I always say God never says oops. That's just kind of how I choose to live my life, you know, keep on keeping on.
Gonna do it himself.
Wait, what's this? Bam out of bio, rejection.
You want to talk hashtag speechless. Getting loose with four-letter bombs?
Get that out of here.
And again, moonlighting off of the clock. What the hell is old man Ritt doing wearing a tie? Old man, why are you wearing a tie?
Game on.
I'm going to ask you one more time. I'm in the front row. Don't be showing up here wearing a tie. You think you're better than me? Neil Brown, my guest.
Everybody has a bucket. You want to fill others' buckets. And you fill others' buckets by building them up and positive comments.
I feel like right before you came on, I was running around emptying the buckets of my staff.
Guilty of doing that too, Jim.
Go to your nearest Dick's True Value hardware store. Buy a master lock for your trophy case because you will not be adding to it.
Yes. The direction of the dog pound.
That is winning football.
That's what champions do. That's what the city of Cleveland does. So for anybody who counted Cleveland out Sunday, I've got one word. Embarrassing. Shame the hell on you for giving up and quitting.
Sorry about the background noise, brother. Somebody just did a cannonball there.
Jim, the Jets are just bad. They're bad overall.
Well, you like come on like a guillotine, cutting people heads off and put it in a bag.
Totally ridiculous, Ron.
Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you very much.
Appreciate you covering our team.
And I feel like I'm the military of America.
Ronnie, you rock.
Intelligence. Yeah. Quotient.
That's what? Not bright.
Oh, he no. missed it.
Rome 25.
Oh, yeah.
Will be the discount code. Oh, unbeatable.
That is ridiculous.
Good night now.
That is so good. Albie's week it was. Christian Kirksey coming up next segment. But first, I have a bottom of the hour sports update. Bob Huesler has got this one.
CBS Sports Radio.
Sports Flash.
All right, Jim, Giannis Antetokounmpo, a repeat winner as the NBA's MVP, in the process joined select company. He was also the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year, the only players in the history of the NBA to take home MVP and Defensive Player of the Year awards in the same season, Hakeem Olajuwon and Michael Jordan. The Denver Nuggets were down and almost out against the Jazz, won the series. Down and almost out against the Clippers, won the series. Now comes their biggest test yet. Game one, Western Conference Finals tonight, Nuggets and Lakers. This is Mike Malone.
We have a special group. We still have a lot of work to do. Western Conference Finals, we know we're playing a very talented and well-rested Laker team. But I do know this, our guys are up for that challenge.
Welcome back. Jim Rome with you, wrapping this Friday. Quick reminder, the ATP on a Friday brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We are joined right now by a linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. He had an enormous game in Sunday's win over Minnesota. He had 12 tackles. He signed with Green Bay in free agency. He was a Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee in Cleveland. 71st pick overall back in 2014 out of Iowa. Green Bay 1-0. They're in first in the North, and they're hosting Detroit on Sunday. Christian Kirksey is my guest. Christian, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. So I had Jordan Poyter on the show last hour, and I know the two of you go back to when you were both in Cleveland. He said, shouts out. Your situation is a little bit unique in the sense that you played your entire career in Cleveland until this year. So your win on Sunday was the first time you've ever been 1-0. How right. good did that feel, and how different is it to start things off with a winning note?
Oh, man, it felt good. You know, we've been working hard, especially in this training camp, with this group of guys, man. This organization is definitely a good organization. I felt right at home as soon as I walked in the door, and they welcomed me with open arms. And, you know, when we took that field on Sunday, due to the circumstances, what's going on in the world and, you know, playing with no fans and everything like that, we still had fun in that game. We still, you know, play football and play together as a team. And to come out of there on the road and become 1-0, it just felt good. And, you know, like I said, it was my first time being 1-0 to start the season. And, you know, I'm just trying to make sure that, you know, I do my part and everything I can to keep things going the right way.
Packer Christian Kirksey is my guest. You know, that's a really good answer. There's a lot in there that I could follow up on. But let me ask you this. You've dealt with injuries since last season, or you did last season, which meant that Sunday's game was actually your first game since September 16th, 2019. What was it like to go nearly a year without playing a game and then to come back and lead the team, a new team, in tackles?
You know, I was just, you know, talking to some of my teammates about that. You know, when you go a year without playing ball, you know, it's a crazy feeling. Obviously, coming into, you know, Green Bay, I thought that we was going to have, you know, a normal offseason, but due to what's going on in the world, you know, we wasn't able to, you know, have that football in the spring. But, you know, once we got out to training camp and, you know, once I got my body back to, you know, playing ball and then going to Sunday, you know, I was just excited to be on the field. You know, it just felt good to just run around and have fun with my teammates and get back to playing ball. You miss it a lot, you know, once you – I only played, what, two games in 2019, and, you know, you miss footballs, you know, a lot. And, you know, I was just blessed to be able to, you know, stay healthy and, you know, come out the game healthy.
Yeah, it must have been such, and that's always key, right? How do you come out of it? But it must have been such an unusual offseason, not only in the sense that you had the pandemic going on, but you were a free agent. So the process in and of itself must have been so strange. When you were looking at the options in front of you in free agency, what was it about Green Bay that appealed to you the most?
Yeah, like you said, it was strange. But, you know, 2020 has been strange for us all. You know, so you just had to learn how to adapt. And just coming into Green Bay, the reason why I chose Green Bay was because obviously the history of the program and also, you know, my relationship with Mike Pettine and, you know, things that, you know, he do with his defense and, you know, obviously, you know, Green Bay with the talent that they have on his team, you know, it was almost a no-brainer. And, you know, I had, you know, similarities as far as like being here in the town is similar to, you know, Iowa, which I went to school at. So when I, you know, flew into Green Bay, I'm like, okay, this reminds me of, you know, a place that I'm familiar with in Iowa. And, you know, I just felt right at home when I got here.
We're talking to Christian Kirksey. You know, it's interesting. I remember the first time that I went to Green Bay. It was back in the 90s coming from California. And I just thought it was such a unique place. Like, it had this feel. And the way you described it, quote, I just felt like a winning presence. I mean, is that like when you walk into the facility or you walk onto the field? Or does it feel like that pretty much everywhere you are in that town?
Yeah, it's a winning mentality, and it's a high standard, you know, coming into this town and coming into this building. When I came on my visit, the first thing I saw was Lombardi Trophy. And, you know, when you walk into the building, you see, you know, lines of trophies that, you know, this organization have won. And then it's a huge Lombardi Trophy that's like from the floor to the ceiling. So it reminds you this is a winning atmosphere. This is a winning organization. And this is the standard walking into this building. So you just feel like winning. And that played a huge part in me choosing to come here.
Christian Kirksey joining us. Now, you had that great divisional win over the Vikings. You held them to 10 points in the first half. I know you'd probably say to me that there were a few mistakes that you want to clean up in the second half, but overall, considering the offseason you and I talked about, what's it say about the potential of the defense that you were able to limit a potent Minnesota offense the way you did?
Yeah, you know, it's a good group of men that's in his locker room, and but particularly, you know, talking about the defense side of the ball, we got guys that's going out and they're playing. They're playing their hearts out, playing multiple positions, guys subbing in and out, and guys are just ready to play ball. And I was definitely excited to see, you know, people like the Smith Bros, Adrian Amos, you know, guys going out there and making plays. I was so excited to play with them on Sunday. And obviously we had some wrinkles that we needed to fix. But overall, it felt good to, you know, go out there and win the ball game. And we came in on Monday. We fixed some of the correctables. And now we're just looking forward to Detroit. And we're going to make sure that, you know, we play a full, solid defense. And I think, you know, seeing what we did on Sunday, we're definitely excited for what we're going to do this Sunday.
Dude, you sound like you've been there 10 years, not just one game. Christian Kirksey joining us. Like, you've settled right in. What about the flip side of that coin? What did you make of watching Aaron Rodgers not only do work, but do what he did on Sunday?
Man, Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. I'm just glad I'm not playing against him. You know, he came out on fire. It's a different feel from what, you know, guys have been telling me. Just watching him in practice and how focused he is, you can tell that he's just, you know, trying to win ball games, and he's trying to go out there and play his best football. And you know, it was just exciting to see, and just his poise and, you know, how he go about the game and approach the game. Aaron is definitely one of the great quarterbacks, and you know, this is my first time, you know, playing with him, and you know, I'm just excited about it.
You know, I'm curious about when you mentioned like 2020 is just such a strange year and such a challenging year for everybody involved. And your point was, look, you just have to learn to adapt. It's just different.
Right.
I'm kind of curious when you're coming back from the injuries that you had to come back from, and that's something totally different. I would imagine you'd have the same approach, like you have to adapt. What was it like to fight through that emotionally and physically and kind of change your perspective and adapt to that?
Yeah, you have to enjoy the moment. And, once you get football took away from you, you look back at your career and say, man, you know, I really, really love this sport. And you almost, like, have to refocus. And you have to you know, take care of your body more. Just do things super particular to where, you know, you're making sure your body is in the best shape as possible. And obviously, you know, you can't control, you know, certain injuries. But when you're hurt, you got to step away. You got to get your mental right. You got to look at the mental side of, you know, playing ball. You know, so I end up, you know, almost turning to like a motivator for, you know, my teammates and trying to do everything that I possibly can to be a part of the team. Because there's times where, you know, you feel like you from the outside looking in, because you're not contributing on the field. But that's when you got to keep telling yourself, you know, all right, well, I can help guys out with, you know, helping them learn, you know, different offensive styles or just sit in the film room and helping some of the young guys, like, you know, dissect different plays. So you have to find a way to contribute to the team even though you're not physically playing. And it's some tough times, though, when you're sitting there and you're like, you know, I'm hurt. There's nothing I can do about it. You know, you got to check yourself mentally, and you got to be mentally strong. You got to, you know, have some good people in your corner that's going to, you know, pick you up in those down times where you, you know, you're feeling upset about, you know, things that happen or the outcome. But for me, I just tried to stay as positive as I can, and, you know, I ended up coming out stronger on top.
I think that's a really good explanation about what it's like to go through an injury. I think a lot of times guys get hurt and we have no idea. We don't see what's going on. We don't see the dark times. We don't see the hard days. We just wait to see the rehab, the injury get rehabbed, and then you come back and do what you do. You're right. Facing the Lions, and they're coming off a really tough loss at home when they had a chance to win in the final seconds. So what are you most focused on as you get ready to face them?
It's going to be a hungry football team.
Right.
Just sitting here and watching the film from last year and watching this past week of the Lions, they're a good football team. And seeing the matchups from last year that they played against us, you know, they was playing good football. And, you know,
you know, the outcome of the game ended up, you know, Packers winning. But, you know, they fought all the way to the finish. And just to see, you know, last weekend they did the same thing. You know, it was a play where, you know, they had a good shot at the end zone. And, you know, that one drop by the running back could have easily been a catch, and there's a whole different outcome of the game. So they're definitely a talented team, and they're going to come in, you know, ready to work and ready to play good football. So for us, we just got to make sure we eliminate the big plays and play our game to the best of our ability and be ready for a dogfight.
I got one last thought for you. If, like, certain things change your perspective, like what's going on in the world or maybe an injury, what about the birth of a child? Your daughter was born in December. So
yeah.
What has that done to your perspective?
Oh, man. My daughter, she's everything to me. You know, every day is precious, and, you know, every day I wake up and I see her, you know, I just get motivated because I'm not only, you know, doing this for myself, now I'm doing this for, you know, my daughter. When it's bigger than yourself, I think that's when your game elevates. When you're not just thinking about, you know, you and everything that football brings, you know, it's for you. You making the plays, but now it's like, you know, I have somebody to feed. You know, I have a daughter to take care of. So it's just extra motivation, and you know, it was definitely a blessing to my life. And God knows what He's doing. You know, even if, you know, during your dark times, and, you know, I was hurt. And, you know, I'm out of football. You know, God, you know, dropped a little blessing on me, and that was my daughter. So it's always a blessing in the storm. You just got to be patient, and you just got to see it through.
Great message. 12 tackles in Sunday's win over Minnesota, a linebacker for the Packers. He was a Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee in Cleveland. Detroit is at Green Bay on Sunday, and that's how you close the show. Christian Kirksey, my guest. Christian, appreciate you. That was a great conversation. Thanks so much. Good luck this weekend.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate you. What a class act. What a class act. All right, that is the program. Good day today. I knew it would be. Huge call brought to you by Grainger. Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Thank you for listening. I will be back here Sunday for the NFL on CBS. 12 noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. See you then. Have a great weekend.